Hi everyone, this is Jayday Waters.
And this is Mollyn James. And we went and saw 50 Shades of Grey today.
Dun dun dun!
So we have thoughts on the whole thing. So we did what we normally do, and we went out to lunch after we saw it, and
And we were both scribbling notes because
right.
we both planned to do a blog post on it.
Exactly. And then we realized when we were talking so much that it would just be easier for us to maybe record us having a conversation about it rather than typing up posts.
So
So
here we
here we are.
are.
So this is going to be super off the cuff, and we're going to go on tangents and stuff, but hopefully we'll try to keep it interesting as well.
And we're going to say spoiler alert, but we're going to try our darndest not to.
Right. So we're going to try to be good, but we're probably going to end up slipping in some spoilers too, because it's sort of hard to talk about the movie without it.
Right.
Okay.
Okay.
All
Should we
right.
talk about our background to start?
Yeah, I think
Okay.
so. Do you want to go
You
first?
Okay, well let's mention our reading background. I've read the first book. Back when I started writing, I'd heard it was worth reading to figure out why it did so well. So I read the first book and I stopped there because I wasn't feeling compelled to continue on.
Very diplomatically put.
Yes.
I have not read any of the books. I mean, at this point, it's sort of hard not to know, certain things about it, but I haven't read any more than like officially the first chapter because I stopped because I wasn't compelled to continue on.
Very diplomatic, Mullen.
Thank you so much. So, Jade's going into it having read the first book, and I went into it not having really read any of it. So we're coming at it from those points of view.
Right. And then also, we should probably talk our theater
Yeah,
expectations.
that's
Yeah.
a yeah.
So, you, theater girl, former theater girl, why don't you talk about that first?
Well, I definitely like I know what I like in movies and in acting and stuff, and so I certainly don't need perfection, but I do like to feel sort of connected to what's going on there. So yeah, I have a I have things that I like, and I'm pretty
Particular,
particular.
right.
How about you?
Oh, well, I had a little theater background, but I didn't last in it long. Probably because my suspension of disbelief is like through the roof. I'll buy it. I'll buy whatever as long as I'm not following something realistic. So I will sit through things that other people walk out of. So I walked into this knowing I was probably being very patient.
So you walked in super open,
Right.
and I walked in knowing that I was going to try to be open,
Right. Oh my God, you
basically.
guys, I have so much to tell you about how she was through this movie. It was quite
I was
entertaining.
entertaining myself. This was really, I have to say I'm sort of surprised, but we'll
Right.
get there.
Right.
Let's see what else. I wanted to talk really quick about context.
Oh, that's important.
Yeah. So, as most people listening to this are going to be aware, there are a lot of opinions about the movie and the book and the kink community, and rightly so. And I have to admit that I was definitely among the more dubious about it, though I am really glad that 50 Shades sort of opened up the discussion and people's awareness to BDSM and DS. I honestly wasn't sure how they were going to do with it. About halfway through the movie, I realized something though, and it completely made a huge difference in how I was watching it. And that's basically that context is everything with this. And this movie, for a kink audience, it's a little lightweight and sort of adorable, and not like it's not super,
Over the top.
it's not what you'd call uber realistic. But for a mainstream American vanilla audience, they did exactly what they needed to do to make it
Fit.
accessible and fit for their audience expectations.
Right.
And
Also with the rating limitation that
exactly,
you
and their
can't
rating, the R
write.
rating. So they did what they needed to do to make it work on a sort of a mass consumer level, and that's fine. And I actually think that they did a pretty good job, as long as you're
Right.
keeping that in mind, that they had to really gear it towards a more mainstream audience and not potentially alienate people who aren't exposed to kink and BDSM.
Right.
they did a pretty good job of, you know, walking a certain line in, you know, in parts of it. Other parts, not as much, but we'll get there too.
Right. So maybe we should mention the audience. Yeah. That's how we walked in.
That's a great idea.
I mean, we did see this thing at 10:30 in the morning, bondage mm-hmm. for breakfast.
That's right.
and the theater wasn't super packed, but I do think that was the time of the day.
Right.
And there were a couple groups of girls and then mm-hmm. a couple couples. There were several men in the audience. A
couple of guys. I saw one guy on his own, actually.
Okay. I didn't see him.
Yeah.
And then next to us were these adorable little old ladies
and
with their Valentine's Day, like sparkly scarf thing. Like a boa?
Yeah. She's wearing like this beautiful, like this happy red scarf. They had to be like late 70s, something like that.
So
it was a pretty enthusiastic audience,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Yeah.
Everyone was really, you know, everyone was talking to each other.
Right. And, lots of comments, yeah. People ready to go.
Definitely what you'd call a sort of a middle-class suburban audience.
Yes.
So you're not going to get like a big urban feel out of this audience. You're going to, you know, these are the suburban Americans right here.
Right. So, here they are.
Here they are.
And then there's us.
And then there was us.
Yeah. with notepads.
With notepads. I suspect you're a little conspicuous.
Yeah. No, fit right in. What are you talking about?
Exactly. So yeah, the audience, you know, was a sort of a great reminder of, you know,
what
the context was. Right. Exactly. So, all right.
So where do we start? Do you want to start with maybe the actors themselves?
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Do you want to
sure.
start?
Sure. So, of course, we have Dakota Johnson and yes. Jamie Dornan. She was precious.
Oh, gosh, she was adorable and a half.
Totally adorable. She was adorable. She played the role really well. I personally liked her better than the character I read.
Mm-hmm.
She was the perfect blend of like sweet and clueless, but not over the top clueless, a little bit klutzy, but also clever and sassy.
Yeah. And I like that she had a certain amount of, you know, sort of self-possession, and the more comfortable she got, one of the things I liked about her was that throughout the movie, you could see her sort of like getting more comfortable with herself
mm-hmm.
and she was holding her own, and asking for what she wanted and needed. And she was sassing him back and,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I liked that she was a much rounder sort of spirited character than I was really expecting.
Right. Right.
So yeah, I liked that. Plus she was really hot.
Yeah.
That's just me.
She was. She was. And then we had Jamie Dornan playing Christian Grey.
Mr. Grey.
Mr. Grey, we'll see you now.
Yes, he will. Oh.
and you know, we've had a few conversations on Twitter of people who were expecting him to be kind of just flat and maybe not. I was honestly pretty impressed with how he played the role. He was, I mean, he had some moments where he was like that first, there was that one scene where we both said that was a little awkward when he pushed her away. That was a little awkward.
That first moment where they almost kissed, but then he's like, he's holding her face and he's like, I have to let you go, but he's holding on to her face.
Right.
So
right.
Like mixed messages there, but you know, that's okay.
Right. But other than that, I mean, I think he, you know, he embodied the character well, and mm-hmm. he had that. I mean, he does have kind of that funny facial expression when he's tormented.
That sort of like distressed, kind of like vacant, like not sure where he went, but
right.
he's somewhere that he's not quite sure he likes.
Right, but I think he played the character well. And Christian Grey's character throughout was, I don't know, I kind of liked him.
I didn't
expect to, and I kind of did.
I have to say that, I was really, really expecting to think that Christian Grey was a douche,
uh-huh.
like big time.
Mm-hmm.
I was resistant to Mr. Grey.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to say that, you know, I don't know if this is the character or if it's just that Jamie Dornan did a really nice job, but he was, you know, he was sympathetic.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he
mm-hmm.
was very sympathetic. And I liked that. And it's not what I was expecting. And it's, you know, it's not his backstory that made him sympathetic. I think that in some ways his backstory is problematic.
Which we'll get to.
And we'll get to that. but the way he interacted, the way he and Dakota Johnson interacted as their characters. They had nice chemistry. And he, there is a certain amount of sort of a, an emotional sort of sympathy about him mm-hmm. that I liked. He was clearly paying a great deal of attention to what was going on with her. And right. I thought that was really, both as actors, it made their connection really nice and sort of dynamic. But for the characters, that level of, you know, paying attention and intense sort of, you know, absorbing what's going on with her, that's also, I think, pretty appropriate
right.
for the kind of person he is. Right. So I liked that. I thought overall, you know, I was on board with them as a couple for most of the movie.
Right.
And then, again, we'll get to the end. Yeah.
And I have to say, Malin, because you hadn't read the book and I had. So, right. of course, they, you know, they have to filter some things out for movie because right. there's not enough time. And it kind of carried their relationship better in that it kind of got drawn out a little in the book, I think. Yeah. And they focused on the romance part of it.
Yeah.
So you could kind of see her falling for him a little bit more. And those of you who are listening, I really expected Malin to be like, this is shit through the entire thing. And I can't tell you how many times, but I know it was at least three times she looked at me and said, I'm pleasantly surprised. I'm actually that they're doing okay. So, and I was like, this is okay. It's working out. So.
I was just sort of, I think it's because they obviously prioritized the romance.
Right. In the movie. They had to.
Exactly. And so there was, you know, it felt really streamlined. Like they really were focusing on how their relationship developed sort of emotionally and outside of the BDSM context.
Mm-hmm.
And so it didn't like, it was easier to just sort of focus on them in a sort of like romantic movie context mm-hmm. rather than in a, like a BDSM, how is this going sort of way.
Right.
And so the way their relationship sort of unfolded in just the normal emotional, not normal, but you know, the more mainstream emotional end of things.
There you go.
you know, that was, it was just really charming. You mm-hmm. know, it was a charming sort of unfolding.
I mean, they,
awakening.
I didn't look at my clock, but it was probably the first half of the movie was
yeah,
developing
maybe even a
that.
Little bit more than that.
And I read the book so long ago, I can't remember, but it felt like it went longer. The romance piece of it went longer. Whereas in the book, I felt like there was a lot more going for it, pulling back, going for it, mm-hmm. pulling back. I could be wrong. But
do you feel like between the book and the movie, do you feel like the movie did a better job of essentially telling this story?
I think so, with the caveat that we still have to talk about the end. We have a lot to say about the end, but, I think up until that moment that mm-hmm. we'll talk about
yeah.
that both of us kind of
have
a similar reaction to, I was totally into
yeah.
it and
yeah.
I thought, wow, I didn't feel this way with the book. With the book, I felt like just keep reading cause you got to figure out what happens.
Yeah.
And then the end happened and I kid you not, I chucked it across the room.
I don't blame you. I would have too.
And so for the movie, I was like, this is, I'm enjoying
yeah.
this.
And I sort of felt like it moved along.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, it didn't feel rushed,
mm-hmm.
but you definitely got a sense of everything, like lots of cause and effect, lots of, you know, things progressing along,
mm-hmm.
You know, not in like a sort of creepy rushed way, but definitely like they were moving the plot.
Right.
And, you know, in a pretty efficient way. And, it, you know, I liked that. It was very engaging.
Right.
It was easy to engage.
Right. Yeah. Right. I agree.
Yeah.
So, should we talk about actual scenes or?
Yeah. Yeah, let's talk about scenes because then we can sort of talk about characters as we talk about the
okay.
scenes. Okay. Yeah.
So, personally, this is the other thing about me with movies. Mm-hmm. I love sex scenes in movies.
No.
So I know, shocker.
Oh my god.
Me? What? So for the audience, and I think I might have told you this, but when I was in my early 20s, every time I went to rent a video, I would peruse the backs and say, this is rated R for violence. Pfft, That's not good enough. Oh, wait, this is rated R for nudity and sex. Let's get this one. So, I really enjoy those scenes.
We had a really similar approach. Yes. I was going to say.
So, that first kiss.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, that was.
That was really well done. Like, I'm a little hot under the collar. That's actually, it was a well done, you know, the famous moment in the elevator.
Yes.
So that.
I enjoyed that, too. And I actually really liked. Like, after they kissed, you know, and the business guys come in the elevator, I like that he referenced the, you know, what is it about elevators? Because
right. There is something about elevators. I know you've written an elevator. Yeah, I've written an elevator.
And they're hot.
I think we've both probably been in elevators.
Yeah. Yeah.
the days. The okay.
So, you know, it is true. There is definitely something about elevators. Sometimes that doesn't always translate on film.
Correct.
But this kiss, definitely, you got that, it's the elevator kind of feeling about it. And that was really, it was a nice way to start the romance is definitely kicking into gear here.
Right.
We're going there. It was good.
Yeah.
The good opening move.
Yep. And then nicely they had done, little Mr. Gray. Push comes to shove. Let's get together. Let's pull away. Yeah. And then should we go straight to the sex scene?
Yeah. Because you know what I thought? That surprised me. And I don't know if that's a book thing versus the first sex scene actually surprised me. Okay.
I think the whole audience knows that she was a virgin.
I didn't. I had I totally didn't.
Anastasia Steele was a virgin. And I think that was part of the controversy was that she was a virgin falling into this, which I do agree is less, I'm not going to say unrealistic, but I think it's less likely to happen. But, you know, there's an exception to every rule. But in the book, that happened.
Okay.
That I don't remember how it went down. I don't think it went down like that. But it was really well done in the movie.
It was really well done. I've got to say.
It was very sweet.
Yeah.
It was very erotic.
It was.
It was very. And on top of that, I've got Mala next to me going, she's hot!
She's hot.
She is hot.
She is a hot little number.
I'm more about the hip bones on the guy myself, so I was kind of like, oh, hello, Dornan hip bones. But
I'm equal opportunity. I'm just going to say that, you know, the scenery was nice.
Yes, it was in both directions.
In both directions.
And the way they filmed it was really lovely.
It was really pretty.
Yeah.
I'd like to touch on sort of the emotional
component
of that whole scene and everything, because the tenor of it really, it just really surprised me because, you know, here he finds out, I mean, he's just shown her this room, you know, which is really, for her, it would be quite intense. Mm-hmm. It's a really nice looking room.
Yeah. It was.
But
I want a room like that.
So, you know, he's just shown her something that for him is quite intimate. And she then confesses her virginity, which I might be the only person in the United States who didn't know that. I didn't know that. So I was like, oh, that's interesting. Because I'm a cultural moron, apparently.
No.
But his response to it was not what I had expected. You know, he was, you know, believably surprised. Mm-hmm. But then in the way that he sort of, the way he said, okay, we know we're going to do this. I forget how he put it, but we're going to.
We're going to do this the right way.
Something.
No. We're going to handle the situation.
We're going to
mitigate the situation. Yeah. Rectify. We're going to rectify the situation. We're going to rectify the situation.
You know, which could be totally creepy. I mean, that could be really, really creepy. But the way it was done and the emotional tenor in which it was done, it was just sort of it was really quite sweet, especially because he had just gone into, like, how he doesn't make love.
Oh, this is. Oh my God! I wish I could remember the exact line, but she says, "Are you gonna?" She signs the non-disclosure,
yes.
And this was in the book. She signs the non-disclosure, and she says, "Are we gonna make love now?" And he says, "I don't make love, Anastasia. I fuck. And I kid you not, everybody, Mullen starts cracking up loud enough for everyone to hear.
It was fantastic. I fuck.
Yeah!
Woo! Fantastic. That's awesome. Yes,
because
that's
he does not make love. But, you know,
he did make love, is the thing. He made love to her. And okay, let me just clarify here. I don't actually make a huge distinction between making love and fucking.
Right.
For me, it's semantics.
Right.
You can fuck with tons of tenderness and amazing connection, and it can be like this really, you can fuck lovingly.
Right.
And so for me, it's a semantic difference. I know that's not the case for a lot of people, and that there is a difference between making love and fucking for a lot of people. Mm-hmm. And so I love that he had just said this thing, I don't make love, I fuck, which is a great line. But then he turns around, and when he finds out she's a virgin, he does
actually make
love to her in the way that a lot of people would think of making love. And right. I thought that was really, really pretty lovely. And he's like, okay, we're not going to move forward with anything else until you have a sense of yourself sexually,
right.
You know, like a real sense of yourself sexually.
Mm-hmm.
I just thought it was really sweet. I thought it was really, really sweet.
Right.
You know, and it was a hot scene.
And
too.
I think, you know, I mean, that did happen in the book, and I suspect, you know, there are these little pieces that we are liking, that we attached to, mm-hmm. that I think are the reason why so many women loved this story.
Maybe.
Because I mean, I'm going to make a huge generalization.
Yeah.
Every woman wants to be made love to their first time, right? They want it to be this beautiful, lovely thing.
Yeah.
That's like what we fantasize. And here's this girl getting it. So,
and actually it's funny. I'd been thinking about that as I was watching the scene, because I was really like, it engaged me, and it wasn't just because, oh, hot sex scene, you know, I'm totally engaged. It was actually that it emotionally sort of like, you know, it was like, oh, wow, my first time wasn't nearly that
right.
lovely,
right.
nearly that mm-hmm. lovely. And how lovely for her that hers is, you know, this complete fairy tale fantasy.
Right. Now bend over.
Thing. Exactly. Right.
Sorry. Exactly. I couldn't help myself.
So, yeah, I mean, definitely it taps into this sort of like this nostalgic sort of, you know,
yay
her. That's awesome. You know, so, yeah, it was really sweet.
Great.
Super sweet.
And then we had the bondage montage.
Ah.
So I liked how they did that.
It was pretty.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it was our first scene in the room.
Mm-hmm.
They'd had some little adventures.
Yeah, they had a little bit of, like, I think he slapped her ass once.
Mm-hmm.
I would like more of that, by the way.
And then they put it together in a sort of montage to Beyonce's amazing Crazy in Love remix, which we need to talk about the soundtrack.
Yeah, we do.
For sure.
We definitely do.
And that particular song has some personal meaning for me, which is all I'll say right now.
You can't see my face, but I'm making a face.
I am particularly moved by that song already, and then the redo is, oh, hello.
The redo's super.
So to pair
sexy.
That with their first scene, which they paired it really well. We'll have to talk about the soundtrack more, but I think they did it well. I was a little worried that was going to be the end of it, but
yeah,
but they kind of gave a couple angles,
they kind of
scenes.
They, you know, they took their time with it.
Mm-hmm.
And this is, I'm going to weigh in on sort of like from the kink perspective here on this one. I was really not sure how they were going to do this, because I know they cut out a lot of what happens in the book, but it's still a movie with an R rating, and you have to be pretty careful. And it is a movie with an R rating for a more of a vanilla audience than a kink audience, probably.
Right.
And so I was like, okay, well, what are they going to do? And the scene itself is super light. It's light, it's sort of sweet. But as a first scene for someone who has never like
witnessed that
before, or for the character Anastasia, for someone who has never ever even considered this as a thing before,
mm-hmm.
I thought it was, you know, a nice introduction to the idea of potential potentially getting a little kinkier and stuff.
Right. This is where, actually, this is another moment. The little old ladies next to us, they were really into the sex scenes, but whenever there was the bondage or there was the discipline, they seemed to get a little uncomfortable. There would be tenser. Like, oh, this is,
So. Actually, and that happened too in the sex scene in her apartment when he uses her shirt as a blindfold.
Uh-huh.
Which is a nice little trick.
Yeah.
You know, it was, they were fine until she was blindfolded. And then they both went, oh. And, you know, then he flips her over and he smacks her ass. And I'm like, smack it again.
Yeah. but not to be confused with the spanking scene.
Right.
Should we say that now?
Maybe we should say that now.
Okay. So there was the spanking scene and... Mm-hmm. And he gives her three good whacks, and
they
on
were
my
okay
left,
whacks.
Okay, they were okay.
They were
on my left, the first two were okay. The third was a little weak. If I remember correctly, and then on my left, I've got little old ladies going, "Oh, come on, please!" And on my right, I've got Malin going, "He stops at three,
dude. Come on."
Quite a
shame.
She's
smiling.
Don't stop there. So, I think there was definitely more in the book, and I really wondered, how are they going to put this in an R-rated movie?
Right.
I mean, because this is a purely sexual story. I mean, it's not purely, but I mean, that's the bulk of it, is the BDSM,
thrust.
Right? See what she did there?
The thrust is BDSM-y.
So...
So yeah, how are they going to manage that and make it so that it was integrated into the story and didn't feel sort of like tacked on or kind of crowbarred in?
Right. But I do think they kept it tame.
They did.
Ish.
They did.
They kept it tame-ish.
Yeah.
And they chopped it down a lot. I mean, they had to.
Well, yeah, I mean, because there's only so much, because I guess it goes then back to the pacing. The movie was paced really well.
Right.
And so it did have a certain, like, an organic flow, you know, and those, especially that first scene in the Red Room, moved along really well. I think it was because of the montage.
Right.
And it did move along really well, and it gave you a taste of sort of a little bit of his sexuality, and it introduced her to kink and BDSM a little bit more. But it did so in a really accessible, like generally accessible way. So, you know, as a kinky person, I'd have loved to see maybe a little bit more, but as a, like when I really think of it through the lens of a viewer, you know, this was
the Motion Picture Association of America. Can you imagine being in that room? I would have killed to be a fly on the wall.
Seriously, right?
Oh my God.
It would have been fascinating.
You need to cut out this many, you know, clips of handcuffs for this to be acceptable for an R rating.
Right. You know, and you know, please, you know, do take out some of the crops or whatever. You know, the rack of crops is a little bit much. You know, and it was a...
Maybe that's why there were only three spanks. Four would give it an NC-17.
I bet you're right.
I'm onto something.
I bet you're right.
Maybe.
I bet you're right.
I wonder.
That's I'd be really curious. Because they definitely did keep it to... I think he spanks her three times.
I don't remember what it was in the book.
He uses the crop on... He smacks her with the crop.
Not very many times.
He gives her a proper whack once on the ass. Uh-huh. And then he sort of... taps her ribs, and he taps her tummy.
And then there was the flogger on the
tummy.
There was a bit of tummy happening.
And not,
and
you know.
She has a perfectly good ass. I don't know why that wasn't exhibited more.
She has a more than perfectly good ass. Flip that girl over. Seriously. Use the ass, okay? It's a good one. But yeah.
I guess that kind of leads us on to, like, what we thought of the... actual sex and the nudity and the bondage. I mean, we talked about the bondage. Should we talk about the nudity?
Maybe we should talk about the nudity. And also, let's talk about that. And then I'd like to talk about the contract.
Right. Let's,
Okay.
So let's talk nudity.
All right. So.
So Jane Gilbert.
Yes. The fantastic chintz curtain or behind the chintz curtain.
She had seen this and she'd mentioned a few things to us and sent us a few DMs.
That's right. And it was actually really interesting and, you know, had a little conversation there. Noticing the nudity inequity in the movie. And I wonder if there's a difference between American audience expectations and maybe European or Australian audience expectations, because with an R rating
here
at least,
there is no male goodness.
No male goodness. I mean, you might be lucky if you get some flank or maybe a little bit of ass.
Right. We got a lot of ass. Well, not a lot.
We got a couple ass shots.
Good ass shots.
No. And one brief, maybe half second of him unzipping his trousers, and there was just a little bit of happy trail. And
oh, there was more than, did you not, there was like some shapeage going
was
on there.
Was there?
Yeah.
Oh, I missed
I
it.
I have a keen eye for that.
I guess you do. I guess so.
I was like, ooh, top of, oh, it's over.
I saw the zipper going down, and then maybe I blinked, because then when I unblinked, there, you know.
You blinked at the wrong time,
I think,
honey.
I must have. Because he was going for it, and I'm like, oh, okay.
Right.
And
but then, that was it. That was it. And then for her, of course, we saw tits and ass through the whole thing.
Right, but never, ever full frontal.
No, but we did see some hair.
We did see some hair.
But she, God, she just looked amazing.
She did, Jesus. She's, okay, I'm just going to put it out there just so you know. Like, she is so my type. as far as the ladies.
Paging Miss Johnson.
Yeah, right.
Miss James would like to see you now. Forget
Miss
Mr. Gray.
Is ready for you. I drifted off. Okay.
Okay,
I'm drifting
so she
back.
Looks
right.
Great.
So,
right.
Yeah, Dakota Johnson looked fantastic.
Got a little sidetracked
okay.
there.
So,
okay.
We were talking about the inequity in the nudity.
Right.
Okay. And
okay.
So, potential differences in
audiences,
and you know what an R rating here means, and how that really, I think that actually Jane Gilbert said something that was really interesting in how the ratings, a movie's rating for sex and nudity has a lot to do with whether or not how much of the man is. Mm-hmm. Is visible. You can get away. Oh, you said that.
Yeah.
Okay. So Jade said that. I'm reattributing the quote or the paraphrase here.
But she was upset about what.
But she was rightfully noticed that there is great inequity.
Right.
In the nudity.
Right.
And I think that it's just a sort of a general social thing where it is acceptable for women to be seen.
Right.
Far more naked in films than guys,
but
which
I,
is so sad.
I also right, but I right. also think for their roles,
and yeah, and you had mentioned that, and given well, sorry, let me let you.
No, it's fine. I had just said. I mean, he is the dom, she is the sub.
Right.
It sort of makes sense that she would be more nude than he would be.
It's true. You know, when he's topping her, he is wearing. I think he's wearing jeans
a lot.
Most of the time, and that's. I have very rarely, well, I don't know, maybe it's different for male doms, but I'm usually wearing stuff,
mm-hmm.
Just because for me, that's how it,
mm-hmm.
it goes, that there is a power imbalance,
mm-hmm.
that is consented to and groovy, and that's just sort of one way it sort of manifests.
Right.
So I don't know if they did that on purpose. I kind of doubt it. But
I think it was maybe I would imagine that it was so easy to do, like, oh, well, we could just avoid the rating issue by having less, and it works out anyway.
And if they were already aiming to avoid the rating issue,
mm-hmm.
I mean, clearly they were aiming for an R.
Right.
You know, to keep it as widely distributed as possible.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so they already cut out so much of the stuff that might make the ratings board blink, that just keeping that inequity as it was probably not too much of a stretch too.
Right.
Though I do think that at some point it would be fun to talk about just that general phenomenon in media.
Oh yeah.
At some point, that imbalance, that sort of required imbalance.
I have so many things brewing in my head right now.
Right.
That.
Me too. That's a whole different conversation.
Another day.
we could definitely talk about that a lot. So that was the nudity, the bondage. And maybe we should talk a little bit about
the actual
bondage and the actual, like a little bit of the, you know, what they did that would, you might call playing, and stuff, and sort of how that fit in with the rest of the movie.
Okay.
It's funny. Now that I'm thinking about it, so much of the movie was like this romantic fantasy,
mm-hmm.
you know, with like going to see his parents and, you know, taking rides in helicopters and when they dance mm-hmm. in his living room. Mm-hmm. And it was so like Pretty Woman sweet.
Yes.
In
that
so
is exactly
ways.
What it was like. Yes.
And then you had these scenes that, you know, introduced a bit of light bondage mm-hmm. or, you know, spanking or whatever. And it's not that they didn't quite fit, but they didn't. It almost felt a little bit like two different movies, a little bit.
Okay.
I'm not sure if I'm making sense.
Well, I
think I
might
need to talk
saying.
This through.
Well,
it's because they didn't not fit. It was okay.
Right, because those two things, romance and bondage and all of it, can
oh,
go
for
together.
Sure.
But
it wasn't, yeah, and it's not that romance and bondage can't go together, because God knows it can.
Absolutely. I think it might just be, maybe it was that it was condensed into a movie,
been.
You know?
Oh.
Trying to whittle down the time or something.
It might, you know what, actually, I think what it is that, I think the soundtrack has something to do with it. And we can talk
oh
about it. And this
Should
brings
talk
in
about
the soundtrack too.
Oh my God.
So in much of the movie, you had this, it was, you know, it was a lighter sound.
Mm-hmm.
It was still, the parts of just the general soundtrack were super cute and sexy and sort of
right.
great. But it was a lighter sound. And then you go into the Red Room or the, you know, where you have little bondage elements and stuff, and it gets way like
a little darker, a little sultrier.
Yeah.
So we left lunch and got our usual Starbucks.
Yes.
And then I was like, I must have the soundtrack now, literally right now. So I went and bought it. And on the way over here, mm-hmm. I actually gave each song a quick perusal.
Oh, awesome.
It's quite a mix. I mean, there's Rolling Stones on there.
Yeah.
And then there's like,
there's a little swing on there.
There's a little swing. Yeah. There's some, oh my God, I'm completely blanking. He's a legend and my brain is frozen.
Oh, I wish that we had the case.
Oh, yeah. It's in the other room. But, yeah. And then of course we've got The Weeknd, which is
right.
that like sultry, super that,
like it's almost like this kind of like a hot kind of slightly menacing
mm-hmm.
sound to
mm-hmm.
it. You know, that I thought worked really well.
And then good old Beyonce.
So it was a big mix, and all through it, the soundtrack is definitely guiding how you feel about what you're watching.
Absolutely. I really felt like that was the element.
Yeah.
Not the element, but I think if you could read a book to music,
yeah,
that might have helped the book.
That's really interesting, actually. That's really interesting.
Because it really, it merged the two pieces together,
mm-hmm.
and it carried a lot of the story, which I would never say that about a soundtrack, but it actually really worked for this.
You're right, actually. And I'll tell you what, normally I don't like it when a soundtrack manipulates me. Like,
mm-hmm.
I can tell. Like, oh, you want me to cry because Timmy fell down the well. And I don't want to cry because you're telling me to. And that's usually my response to a soundtrack cueing me to feel an emotion.
Mm-hmm.
This one, I knew it was doing it and I didn't care.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, I was on board with basically what I was being told to feel.
Mm-hmm. I think
it was really weird. I was totally conscious of it.
Did you notice? I mean, it was definitely used. It was used for that because,
mm-hmm.
for example, that first scene in the Red Room,
yeah.
hands above her head,
yeah.
and it's that Crazy in Love song
yeah.
that I'm apparently going to be singing for days. Sorry, neighbors who can hear me in the shower.
And, yeah, they're going to love it. Great voice.
Oh, thank you. And that they completely put
yeah.
his movements on her body
yeah.
to the beat of that song.
They did. It was
it
almost
was
choreographed.
Ridiculous.
I almost
in
made
a good way.
In a good way.
Right.
It totally worked. It almost made me
uh-oh.
Wonder.
And then all
if
of a
they
sudden,
were playing
yeah.
it while they filmed the scene.
Yeah,
because
they
it was
do.
So.
Right.
It was very rhythmically like.
Mm-hmm.
It just made sense.
Mm-hmm.
It made total sense. So I wonder if maybe what I'm cueing to is that a lot of the non sort of kinky-ish portions of the film, they had a bit of a lighter feel
mm-hmm.
soundtrack-wise. And then you get into the Red Room and it gets super like, da-da-da-da-da-da, you know,
yeah,
kind of
little,
like, in a little, it gets a little bit darker, a little bit sexier, a little bit, and in a way, it's complicated. I don't know. I have to think about it. And in a way, I felt like I liked that,
uh-huh.
but I wasn't sure about how that would translate to other people. Cause I don't know.
I'm curious. I would be curious.
Yeah.
Maybe some people can leave some comments for us on our blogs here.
That would be awesome. This is
if they've seen it and really if they want. I mean, opinions on the whole thing, but also if the music had any effect on you. Was it like, you know,
did it do it for
let's
you?
Let's get it on for like, you, or was like, it like,
oh, no, thank you? You know,
because I think that really. I mean, we said this a couple times at lunch too. Like the soundtrack really. It helped.
It really did help. I feel like the soundtrack.
It was the mood music.
Yes.
They mood musicked us. And it totally worked.
It did. They schnickered us.
Oh my God. I would totally take my clothes off to that soundtrack. I take my clothes off to soundtracks all the time. But anyway.
But that one can go into the taking the clothes off collection.
Yes. Gentlemen. Yes. This is how you get your ladies.
Pop on a little.
Forget who's like Marvin Gaye or whatever.
Marvin Gaye is so last century.
Yeah, forget that. Just put on this soundtrack.
Yeah.
Frank Sinatra. That's who I was thinking of. He was on the soundtrack.
Yes, he was.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, that's the song they dance to. Like a freaking adorable, you know, like little billionaire with his girlfriend.
Right. Yeah, it's quite a mix. So that was well done.
It was. And I do think that you're right that it did it guided along the story, and I think it did help with the pacing.
It massaged
the transitions.
And the difference between the soft, the romantic, and the...
And the
kink that it did cover. I
mean, exactly.
Right.
One thing I do want to say pleasantly surprised me was that the kink that they did show, which was, you know, sort of like a... It was sort of like a nod to kink rather than like super kink, but it was fairly responsibly portrayed.
Mm-hmm.
You never saw him lose control. Mm-hmm. He checked in with her a lot. Mm-hmm. He, you know, was clearly taking it really slow and going very easy with her, given her lack of experience.
Mm-hmm.
He was clearly, you know, being careful. Mm-hmm. And I did appreciate that quite a lot. Especially there was that scene, I think it's the second right with the crop, I think.
Mm-hmm.
She comes in and he's visibly upset because something happens, I guess, with work.
Right.
And he says, "I want you in the room." And I'm thinking, "Oh God, what's going to go down here?" Cause you know, it would be so easy for him to
lose it,
you know, in the way they set that scene up. It was just like begging for him to lose it. To be a bad guy.
Right.
But he wasn't,
mm-hmm.
you know, he was very consciously and obviously making sure that she was good and that she had a nice time. And, you know, she
did seem to be having a afterwards. Really... Jesus.
Well... Full service fuck, okay?
Did you have a nice time, dear?
Like, was that pleasant? Was that all right?
Sorry.
The cuff's too tight, my darling.
Oh, God. But no, I agree. I agree. That,
you know, and I liked that he was... I like that he never went into, like, oh, you're a bastard. You're bad news dude.
Right.
You know, this, you know...
And there is a bad news part that we'll get to.
That we will get to.
We will get to, but I should we talk about the contract first?
Yeah, let's talk about the contract first.
Okay. So I unfortunately had to take a ladies' break during the contract. Sorry, guys, but you stayed in there.
I was in there.
I just confessed that in public, but, you know, I had coffee.
Hey, you got to do it.
And I remember the contract going on and on and on and on in the book.
In the book. So it really did go
on. I mean, it was cute, but it was just, I remember it being this really long thing. And while the negotiation is important, there's this contract piece that's kind of...
It goes.
Okay.
Yeah. So actually, you know what? Let me ask real quick. Did she actually write the contract into the book?
Yeah.
Okay. So all that. So
I am.
So the word
90% sure that you actually see. I wish I should have brought the book. That would have been smart.
Yeah.
And in it I do believe it has at least parts of it in the book.
Contract. Okay.
And all those emails and everything, those were in the book. Yeah, and the text and all that. Yeah.
That's interesting. I don't know how that would work in a book. The way they did it in the movie, it actually moved along pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
And I was actually happy that that you got a sense of what was inside the contract.
Right.
And I know that there are some things in there, like the audience did not react well to, you know, the submissive will eat such and such, or blah, right. blah, blah. The audience did not like that. And I'm sitting there thinking, well, you know, in the right relationship, that's perfectly reasonable.
Right.
You
exactly.
know? But I liked that you got a sense of what was in his contract, because it gives you a sense of what he is as a dom. And right. I have to say that, you know, as a, you know, for his, you know, what he does and what he wants out of a sub, it was a super responsible contract.
Right.
And the fact, and here's where I really liked it, their negotiation.
Oh my God. This scene was really quite fun.
It was super fun
and it was sexy, and it was like,
and you know, it was great because you got a sense, he never lost
his cool
uh-uh. and his authority,
uh-uh.
but he was giving her lots of room to say what was okay and what wasn't, even if she didn't know what the fuck something was. Like, you know, she hadn't had experience with most of those things. And if she gave him, she said, like, no suspension.
Right.
Even though she'd never done it, he didn't push her.
Right.
He was like, okay, you know, fine, no suspension.
Strike that. Right. Strike.
And so he never challenged her on something that sounded scary or like, I don't want to do that.
Right. Though they never did have that contract in the long run.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Well, I mean, unless they did it in the second book or something, but just like in the movie, she said no contract.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
That's really interesting from a narrative perspective, because so much pressure was put on that.
Right.
And then for him to say, fuck the contract.
It's because he was feeling squishy.
I cursed so much.
You did. You curse all the time. So do I. It's fine.
Wow. That's so funny. I was just realizing how much I say fuck. I say fuck a ton.
Doesn't like every erotica writer say fuck all the time?
I'm going to throw cunt in just because.
We just wanted to say cunt.
And let's throw in cock, too.
And pussy.
Oh, God. Cunt.
I know. Cunt's way better. Okay, back to our topic.
Okay. We're, like, opening the door for a series here. I thought it was interesting that they placed so much pressure, narrative pressure, on that contract.
Mm-hmm. And then it doesn't ever happen.
And then it never happens. Yeah. And, I mean, that's totally a choice. And that's, you know, that's fine. I like that it got discussed and, you know, sort of the parameters of what he wanted were so clearly stated, and mm-hmm. she was able to say yes or no. So that was nice. I think purely as an audience, I'd have liked to see, after so much weight was put on it and so much, you know, there was so much checking in with, have you decided yet, blah, 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 and so much that eventually I think it would have been nice for that bit to be resolved.
Right. Well, maybe it comes up in the second book. I mean, that's possible.
It could.
And maybe this is a good time to talk about how they got to the second book.
Okay. There's a lot to say there.
So I, remember, I have read this.
Right.
And I chucked the book across the room because there's a cliffhanger and then there's this bullshit.
Right. And this ending is bullshit.
This is right. And so we're watching this. We're right. into the movie. We're like, okay, I can get into this.
And I've got to say, we're both pretty on board.
Right.
Right up through, like,
she wants to see how bad it can be.
Right.
And I remember that from the book, but I, you know, here's my suspension of disbelief kicking in again. I had kind of let myself forget what happened in the book. I knew it had an ending that I didn't like, but then they go to this place. They go to this dark place, if you will.
Right.
But it's dark in the wrong ways. It's dark because she's asking for it and then she's rejecting it.
Right.
And then it's dark because at the same time, I mean, we've got the love. She wants the love. And
there's
he wants
so
the kink.
Things. There's
and they're
so
both shooting
things.
Each other down.
Especially when what they want is not mutually exclusive. If he wants the kink, there's nothing wrong with that. If she wants the kink to come with a sort of a more traditional setup, there's nothing wrong with that either.
Right.
You know, but they're acting like like they can't coexist.
Right.
But even at a more basic level, I think this is going to require spoilers.
Yeah, guys, spoilers are happening now.
Yeah, this is where the spoilers have to be.
But maybe do it gently. Try not to spoil too much.
Okay, I'll be gentle.
Naughty. Anyway,
let's start with the conversation where she comes in and wants to understand.
Mm-hmm.
And so up to this point, we've gotten a sense of his background, that he had been abused.
Which this is where I struggle.
Right.
I think this is part of what people don't like about it, who are in the kink community. Yeah. And also erotic writers. I mean, yeah. I'm not hugely in the kink community, but I write
a lot
of this. And why does he have to be tormented to like this? This is a bunch of bullshit.
And I do have to say that I have the same problem. You know, he's given this backstory, and that's fine. He's had abuse, mm-hmm. In his past, and you know, that this abuse is directly equated to his being a sadist.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm sure that as with anyone's background, you know,
it comes into things, play.
It comes into play, but that it's sort of, at least by Anastasia and by Christian, it does seem to be like, there's the silver bullet. This is why he's like that.
Mm-hmm.
And that makes me uncomfortable.
Me too.
So we're sort of feeling uncomfortable with that.
Mm-hmm.
And then we get to this scene where she's asking him, what do you want to, you know, why do you want to punish me? Why do you want to do this? You know, why do you need this? And the amount of self-loathing
that he exhibits
mm-hmm. is truly, for me, distressing. And the amount
he had up to the moment, because in the moment he was in the moment.
You're right. Yeah.
But up to the moment, it was, this is my old theater. Come, no, Anastasia. Yes, Anastasia. No,
yes.
No, Anastasia. No.
I wish you guys could see Jade's face.
No,
right now.
I can't.
It's the same thing as that scene way in the beginning when he's holding her fucking face
and go saying, away.
I have to let you go.
Go away while I cling to your jaw.
While I hold on to your jaw. You must leave. Sorry, God, we got so loud. It's that same sort of thing. Like, you know, he's clearly conflicted.
Right.
And, you know, that's okay. But then when they really dig into why he wants this, you know, there's a lot of judgment in there. And he is clearly not comfortable with this aspect of himself. And he really apparently feels very uncomfortable and doesn't like this part of himself. And she doesn't understand. She wants to understand. Okay, that's cool. That's fine. So she says, show me. So he does. And I'm just going to say that he goes out on a limb to show her. She basically says, show me how bad it can be
mm-hmm.
with you. Or show me the worst you want to do or something
the worst
like
it
that.
Can be.
The worst
right.
it can be. And so he does. And setting aside, you know, stuff, because he basically gets a belt and he smacks her ass 6 times with it, you know, and setting aside the fact that that's actually not like a big, that's not a terrifically like
right, over, huge, the, top thing,
over
right.
the top thing. For her, it clearly is.
Right.
And the way they portray it in the film, it clearly is. And her response to it, having basically pushed him into this situation of, you have to show me what you want to do
mm-hmm.
to me.
And she even says, that's the only way I'll understand.
It's the only way I'll understand. So he essentially needs to make her understand or she's going to walk. And at this point, it's pretty clear that he does not want her to, that he's very attached.
And we all know ultimatums are bad.
And ultimatums are bad. So he does. And he shows her. And so he gets down a belt and he gives her a whipping. And she goes all through the 6 count. And then he goes to check in with her and she
shuts him away.
Shoves him away.
Right.
And it's okay that she's upset.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay that this rattled her because clearly
it's new.
Up to this point, he's been very careful with her. And even in this scene, he's pretty freaking careful with her.
Mm-hmm.
But she really shuts him down hard.
Mm-hmm.
And it is obvious that he's having a great deal of personal problems with the fact that he wants this. And the overall tenor is one that this is kind of monstrous and not all right.
Right. It got real uncomfortable.
Yeah, it got really uncomfortable.
It got real uncomfortable because she just shoved him away. And, I mean, there were safe words. So use the damn safe word.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's been established. He's already...
Then again, maybe she, you know...
Maybe she didn't...
She forgot. Sure. She's new. I don't know. But,
and that's possible. I mean, that can happen.
And this is just like the book. This is just like the book. And I said this at lunch. This kind of cliffhanger in a book made into this kind of cliffhanger in a movie... Right. Is not okay for vanilla America. Yeah. Like, if I had gone to see that movie, and I was just a curious person, because, you know, people are there because they're curious, and there are people there because they read the book.
Sure.
If I was of the curious bunch, I would be like, what the fuck? Like, thanks for leaving it on this terrible note. I'm done.
Right. And then compounding that very sort of uncomfortable emotional dynamic they have going at the end of that scene in the Red Room when she does show him and she shoves him away and he, you know, it's uncomfortable. She then says that she loves him later on in the scene in her little bedroom. He comes in to check on her.
And he pushes her away.
And he pushes her away because he apparently, you know, that's not okay for him. And, you know, yeah, I see the parallel they're drawing.
The word you said demonizing earlier, and that's exactly what it is. It's like he's demonizing her love for him, and she's demonizing his love of kink.
Exactly.
Right. And so it's...
And they're acting like the two things cannot possibly coexist. Like,
but that's because he's damaged.
Right. And that goes back, like you said, that's his background. You know, his background comes into play. And, you know, if he just weren't like this, it would be okay. And he's like this because something bad happened to him.
Right.
And it would be one thing if she's the one that felt like that and, okay, maybe these two aren't meant to be together. But he feels like that too.
Mm-hmm.
Or he seems to.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, the whole thing is just, it just goes from fun, kind of cute romp, doing good, to that last section, last bit.
And I do think, I mean, I know that's how the book ended, but I think if I were the director or the producer or the script writer or whatever, the screenwriter, I would have said, you know what? We don't want to scare the American public who isn't into the kink and who hasn't read the book and they're just curious. Why don't we end it just a tiny bit before when she says, show me the worst you can do. End of movie.
And then
I'm intrigued.
I'm ready. He can do the Jamie Dornan sort of vacantly distressed look. And, you know, and then bam. And then we're like, oh, God, I wonder what's going to happen here.
That is a great cliffhanger.
That's great.
You know what, guys, I have to quit writing erotica novels. I have to write screenplays.
Because the cliffhanger they leave us on is like,
shit.
It's bad. It's not good.
Yeah. It follows the book.
Right.
But it was a poor choice with all those people who don't know the story or who are already like, this is a bad movie, it shows abuse, or blah, 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 you kind of left them with a total opportunity to run with that.
It's true. And, you know, I think that up until that last, I'd say, what is it, like 20 minutes or so?
15.
Half an hour, 15.
It wasn't even that much.
Yeah, 20, let's say 15, 20 minutes. You know, I think that for the most part, it was okay.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was pretty good. Mm-hmm. The last 15 minutes really do confirm maybe some, you know, they give people, not confirm, but they give people an opportunity to maybe misconstrue some things.
Right.
And that's not the best. And if it was serving the story in some vital way, then okay, then that cliffhanger, fine, keep it in, whatever. Right. I don't have to like it. But I don't even think it really serves the story terribly well. I feel like it's an interruptive thing.
It was really jarring reading it. That's why the book got tossed across the room.
I totally see
why. I've never seen a cliffhanger like this in my entire life.
And this is the kind of cliffhanger where, personally, I wouldn't read. Principle, I'd have no reason.
I didn't read it. I didn't.
You know, because feels like you're being jerked around.
Right.
Just as an audience or a reader. I don't.
Yeah. So, that, I think overall, it was good.
Yeah, it was
enjoyable. I would
honestly
say it was good until the belt buckle scene.
Right.
Or the belt scene.
The belt scene.
And then it was, uh-oh.
And that, you know, and I will say, and I, this is again going to be like from a sort of a kink perspective. the belt scene just, it didn't warrant the amount of tortured sort angst. Of angst,
yeah.
You know, and, you know, you monster, you're never going to do that to me.
You'll never touch me like that again.
Exactly. Like, I, you know, she can be upset, you know, that's fine. And in the end, what he did to her was just, it didn't warrant the amount of angst that it got. And, you know, I mean, there are other things that could have been done that would have been like, oh, okay, you know, that's legitimately pretty darn, you know, worrisome from her perspective or from his perspective. But one really still got the sense that he was like holding a ton back.
Right.
And, right. and so I didn't, and I know, again, this goes back to the context, you know, there's only so much you can do in an R-rated movie for a mainstream audience. And so they probably went as far as the censors would let them. And they probably did, they pushed the limit that they had to push, and that's fine. But again, it's that emotional reaction.
Right.
That just, it felt, it didn't feel so great. It didn't feel so great. And it kind of bummed me because
outside of that,
I was like, oh, this is like fun sort of, you know, romantic fairy tale kind of, you know, suspend your disbelief.
Yes.
And hop in that glider with the cute billionaire.
The cute boy who actually starts smiling, and he actually looks really cute when he starts smiling.
You know, and then, have a couple cosmos with your mom.
You said, I want a guy. What did you say? I want a guy with an airplane like that?
No, I said, I want a billionaire on call.
Right. Yeah. And I was drooling over the car, if that says anything about the two of us. Like, look at that car.
I think the car was definitely a part of having a billionaire on call.
Paging all billionaires. Yes, but exactly. Seriously.
It was sad because it took what was just sort of a fun romp, and it did give it this little air of, you know, sour taste in your mouth right at the
darkness.
End. You know, when it was just almost such a purely fun little thing, right. You know, that you don't take seriously and you don't get all, you know, like, wrapped up in, you know, what it might be in reality or what it wouldn't be in reality. Mm-hmm. You just run with the fairy tale, and that's fun and that's great. But that last moment soured it for me.
So they needed to, you know, this is where they take license with movies and they change things. And I think that changing the ending would have been, I mean, not changing the ending, but just cutting it sooner.
Cutting and then having the second movie start.
Right.
There.
Though, you know, a lot of people in the audience, you saw, they stayed after and they talked about it, and we actually asked the little old ladies next to us. We asked them if we could talk to them a little bit, and
they were super sweet.
They were really adorable.
They're so cute.
They left their friends at home because their friends wouldn't go see it with them.
No, but they went. They came out and they
couldn't believe that Malin hadn't read the book.
No, they just thought it was just incredible. I must be the only person in the United States.
But they said they were excited that it stuck really closely.
They did like that it stuck really closely. And interestingly, I think you asked them, Jade, didn't you, about some of the nudity, the sex?
I didn't ask them about the nudity, but I can't remember what I asked, but they had said they were a little surprised by the amount of the sex.
They said
I don't know how they were surprised by it.
It was really, this is where like the vastly different perspective from ours was really cool and interesting, because I think the older one of the pair.
The one in the far one.
She's like, parts of it were pretty raw, is what she said. I think that's what she said. And her friend agreed. Uh-huh. But she's also the older one who said that parts of it were pretty raw. She'd read all three books and she was super... Right. She really clearly knew the material. Mm-hmm. You know,
she told us what happened in the next book. Actually.
Yes.
Well, the beginning of it anyway.
And so she was clearly a fan. And the caveat then was to saying some of them were pretty raw, clearly like, but then they both said, but that's okay. We can handle it. We can find a couple of old men later.
Oh, that's right. They did. Oh my God. That was so cute.
And it was fantastic because clearly it maybe pushed a couple of boundaries for them, but that was okay.
Right.
Like
you didn't hear them. They were uncomfortable with it. Like when they were getting ready to go into the Red Room, they had said, I can't remember exactly what they said, but it was like, oh no, police. She needs to.
Okay. So
they weren't really. And so I was like, how could you be so excited? And then, I mean, you read the book. You know what's going to happen. How can you be all excited about it and then be like, no, no, she should walk away from this now?
Oh, that's interesting. I totally did not hear that.
No, and I could hear them. I did hear them make
not happy sounds when he tied her up.
Yeah, and so I don't understand why. I guess I just don't understand why you would read a book and be so excited about it and then go see the movie for it. And yet...
I have a little theory.
Okay.
I think that, you know, for some people, reading it is different than seeing some of it portrayed. And granted, this is pretty light and pretty sort of fantasy fairy tale looking.
True.
But for people who haven't actually seen any of it
That's true.
You know, that can be a little surprising, I suppose. That's
true. We should have asked them if they'd seen other racy movies. Like,
talk about it in racy movie.
Like 9 1/2 Weeks or
Basic Instinct. Right. And Color of Night. Uh-huh. And what's the one? Body of Evidence.
Body of Evidence. Yes. Right. Which, that had bondage in it, didn't it?
I know it had wax play. I remember the scene where she pours the wax on.
You know what's funny is I quote unquote saw that movie first through the door because my parents were watching it and I wasn't allowed to see it. I loved Madonna. I'm like, that is Madonna talking through the door right now.
That's great.
I want to watch that. I'm not allowed to see it. And then I saw it years later. This is what happens when you don't let your children watch R-rated movies. They just start writing dirty later.
It's, you know, it's, actually, yeah, that's...
Pretty much what happened. So, anyway, I wonder, I would be curious if they'd seen those. Because those were, I mean, you mentioned that you thought those were racier in many ways.
I remember, let me see, it's been a while since I've seen any of those.
I saw 9 1/2 Weeks, I kid you not, less than a year ago. The first time I saw it.
Oh, okay. So your memory of it is probably a lot.
It's very fresh.
A lot fresher than
I don't know how I didn't see it.
Okay. But I saw it when I was, God, it had to have been like 15 years at this point since I last saw it.
Okay.
You know, and I do remember at the time, yeah, I saw it at 18. So I was pretty, I didn't know anything about, you know, power dynamics or anything like that. So that was pretty, that impressed me as being really, edgy, and very like, interesting and titillating, but definitely not something that I was exposed to. Mm-hmm. And so that's my memory of it. So I don't have a memory of it as an adult.
Well, it was definitely edgy. I mean, it had that old movie feel to it. So when I watched it, and I'm coming at it from a different angle because it was recommended to me by a certain man who loved it.
Oh, okay.
And so it was like, like there was a whole different
lens.
Like lens for it. Right. So I think it titillated in a different way.
Sure.
It was in a like.
Sure. It was very contextually specific.
Right.
Yeah,
so,
that makes sense.
But I remember there were scenes in it, particularly like her scene with the movie flicking.
Yeah.
Like that. That was edgy and racy and it was filmed in a way that was super.
Did it hold up as being sort of, because at the time it was really, I remember it being like insanely controversial and it was just really a big deal. And so it held up in that way.
I think so. Again, I had a different lens, but, I think it did. And then Basic Instinct, I only saw a chunk of, so. Right.
And I saw that
again,
a couple years ago.
Forbidden from seeing movies. And then I just never got to them.
I was definitely forbidden from Basic Instinct. And I only saw chunks of it up until maybe 5 years ago, maybe not even that much, but I saw it for the first time all the way through. And it struck me as both ridiculous, but impossible to look away from.
Right.
And then there was, there's Sharon Stone and girls. And so, you know, I sound like so preoccupied. I'm not actually. I'm a very well-balanced human being with interests across the board.
She is. Across the board.
Across the board. But I do remember thinking as I was watching it a couple, 3 years ago, whatever it was, oh, no wonder this was such a big deal when it came out.
Right.
Because it was the first time I think a seriously predatory female, sexually predatory female had been seen on film.
Mm-hmm.
And you even now you don't see that as much. So that was quite striking in its own way. Not maybe from so much like a sexy point of view, but from a sociological point of view, Basic Instinct is really interesting.
Right. So I wonder if, I mean, to me, this didn't feel... I don't know if it's because we write erotica and we're just super open-minded at this point or what, but, like, I wasn't super phased by it.
I wasn't either. I actually... Sorry, go ahead.
And I just wonder, like, are people in the theater as shocked by this as people in the theater were for 9 and a half weeks, when 9 and a half weeks came out?
Right. I'd be curious, because...
We
should have asked the ladies, actually. like you just said, I don't know if it's because we write erotica, or just we're exposed to things, or, you know, have certain proclivities or experiences or whatever. Mm-hmm. That this felt much more like, you know, Pretty Woman for the 21st century.
Right.
A bit more than it felt like an actual, like, sex movie. It didn't feel like a sex movie.
Exactly. I would totally agree to that. Yeah. You know. Absolutely. Because, honestly, the bondage wasn't...
It was very light.
It was downplayed.
Yeah.
And maybe that's why people like the book. I mean, it's in the book, but there is this whole romantic feel to it. So maybe that's it.
It could be it. Figure the, like, the erotic classics, like the real, like, BDSM classics. Mm-hmm. Venus and Fur, mm-hmm. stuff like that. Really focus on the experience of the power dynamic or mm-hmm. the BDSM mm-hmm. or just, you know, that space that you occupy when you're engaged in those activities, that's really, really at the center of those stories. And that was not at all going on in this movie, which, you know, that's okay. That's a different kind of movie, but this movie felt much more about progressing the romance and what was in the way of making the romance progress.
Right.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Should we give an overall rating?
Yeah.
Oh, you yeah.
first.
Oh, gosh.
Okay.
Oh, gosh.
What's our standard? Are we doing stars? Are we doing thumbs up, thumbs down? Are we doing... Maybe stars, because thumbs up or thumbs down is just sort of positive or negative.
What did Siskel and Ebert do?
They did thumbs up and thumbs down.
Because, you know, Jade and Molly.
Maybe
who's Siskel? Who's Ebert?
I think we might take turns.
The San Francisco Chronicle, clapper guy.
I feel like there's...
It's hard to do.
It's hard to do, like, a black or white, because there's so many shades of gray.
Sorry. Oh, you did it.
I totally did.
That's 50 Shades of Fucked Up. I'm just kidding.
Okay. Playing on through.
Okay, so...
The
stars.
Okay.
Stars?
Yeah, let's do stars. So if I were giving stars, I'd say 3.5 stars.
Okay.
Slightly above average. Pleasantly surprised in a nice bunch of ways. Definitely had problems with those aspects that we talked about. Mm-hmm. Overall, though, it was entertaining. I was engaged for a good deal of it. It was, you know, as far as sort of, like, if it were a meal, it's definitely not a steak.
No.
But,
right.
You know, I'd say maybe burger and fries, you know, something like that. Or, like, you know, a chicken sandwich or something.
A little drive-thru.
You know, it's consumable, and it was definitely tailored to its audience, and it moved. So, yeah.
Okay, so I'm going to go... This is tough, because I've read the book, and I read a lot of series.
Yes, you do. Yeah.
I do a lot of the YA series, too. Yeah. So I'm pretty forgiving of where things end. And you were all warned I have a good suspension of disbelief. So I'm going to go with 4.
Cool.
I'd say I'm between 3.5 and 4, because the end just really fucking pissed me off.
Yeah, the end is a real problem.
And I completely, in my suspension of disbelief state, forgot that happened. And then I was not happy. So yeah. I really liked how they did it. The acting was great.
Yeah.
I liked the way it looked, the soundtrack, right? All that, the
characterization,
all of it was actually really workable for me, until the end.
Yeah.
So, absolutely not a 5-star, but
no.
I enjoyed it more than I thought I would.
Yeah,
I really did, and I honestly, like, despite the crappy ending and despite what we've all said about the book, I do still really appreciate that this has opened it up to the world, because people, like. It's been around.
It's been around for centuries and more than that.
Right. And it's great that the American public is finally seeing
absolutely
that this is not an unnatural thing.
Yeah. I think that there's been so much media right now and so many opinions and so much, you know, so much hate piling on. And on the other side, people, you know, sort of blanketly being, you know, yay this and without, you know, the two camps have definitely divided themselves up. But fan or not, it's gotten people talking, and that's a good thing.
And it got us talking.
And it got us talking today.
So maybe this is where we wrap it up.
I think so.
I don't know. This has been really fun.
I have had so much fun talking with you like this.
I'm so glad we decided to do this.
This is basically like lunch without lunch.
Lunch without lunch. Yeah. Lunch on record.
That's right.
So we kind of wandered around a little bit, and we probably laughed a little too loud for you, but...
And, Yeah.
but we hope you enjoyed listening.
And, you know, thank you for, I mean, if you stuck around to this point, thank you for hanging in there with us.
Yeah, no kidding. And let's give our website.
Yeah, good idea.
Because we might be on another one. So,
okay, so I am mollandjames.com. So that's http://.
Whatever it is.
That.
Yeah, everyone is.
Mollandjames, MALINJAMES, one word. And you are?
I'm jadewaters.com.
That's right.
Jade is spelled, you know, because sometimes people have trouble with it.
That's true.
Remember, when we've gone to Starbucks, it's become turned all sorts of things. J-A-D-E, awaters.com. Right. So
you can find us there.
Yeah, and thank you so much for joining us, everyone.
Thanks, everyone. This is nice of you to hang around with us.
Yeah. Now go see a movie and have some popcorn and get it on.
Have something else, too.
Yeah. something. Bye.
Bye.
And now, outtakes.
Okay.
Hi, this is J.D. Waters.
And this is Mollen James. I sound like...
That's it, but whatever.
I think I sound like a serial killer. Get me some zip ties, baby.
Oh my God, cable ties, not the cable ties.
I'm going to have my secretary put that on the voicemail. Anyway.
Okay.
So I lost, where were we? We went to Dakota Johnson's.
Are you going to snort again?
I don't know. I might. Oh, I totally did. God damn it. Oh my God, are we going to do outtakes? Seriously? We generate outtakes like motherfuckers.